All right, well, we're there in 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And I'd like you to look down at verse number 1, 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And verse number 1, I want you to notice the Bible says this, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." And, you know, in Scripture, we learn a lot about a lot of different characters, but there's not a lot of passages that deal with children. And I want you to notice that this is actually one chapter that deals with a child. Of course, Samuel grew up to be a great man of God, a great prophet. But here in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, we learn of him as a child. The Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord." And I want you to understand that Samuel, and we don't know exactly how old he was at this time, but he was what we would probably, or what I would characterize as a young child. And when I say a young child, I mean 4 years old to 7 years old. And one reason that we know that is because he wasn't saved at this point. Let's skip down to verse number 7, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 7. The Bible says this, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." The Bible says Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And this terminology of not knowing the Lord actually is telling us that he was not saved. In fact, keep your place there in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and go with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7 in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 7, let me just show you that and prove that to you. So the Bible says here that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. That doesn't mean that he was a bad person or was away from God. It's because he was a child. He was not yet saved. So again, when we're talking about children that are not saved or are at the age where they're not saved yet, you know, we're talking about a four-year-old, a five-year-old, a six-year-old, maybe even a seven-year-old. And it says here that he did not yet know the Lord. I just want to prove to you that that terminology has to do with salvation. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22 says this, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them," verse 23, notice what he says, "I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So there we see that people that were not saved, Jesus will one day say to them at the great judgment, he says, "I never knew you," right? Because when someone doesn't know the Lord, that means they're not saved. Go to Galatians chapter number 4. You're there in Matthew. You're going to go past Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, into the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, look at verse number 9. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9. Galatians 4, 9 says this, "But now, after that ye have," notice these words, "known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage." So again, we see that terminology being used for someone who's saved, for someone who is a believer. Jesus said of those who did not believe, "I never knew you." Here, Paul is telling people, you know, you already known God, or rather are known of God. Why are you going back to your old life and the way you used to live? So again, we're seeing here that Samuel, this child, was what we would consider a young child, 4 to maybe 7 years old, because of the fact that he was not yet saved. Now, keep your place there in Galatians. We're going to come back to it. But go back to with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And, you know, this morning, I'm preaching a very specific sermon on the subject of what to expect from a young child, or what to expect from young children. And when I'm talking about young children, I'm talking about a four-year-old to a seven-year-old. And, you know, we have a lot of young families in our church with a lot of couples that have got some young children. And some of the problems that parents have in child rearing is that sometimes they just don't know what to expect. Right? They don't know what should be coming at one time. We see this a lot with new mothers. You know, new mothers ask a lot of questions. They should ask a lot of questions. It's wise of them to be asking questions. My wife gets a lot of text messages from some of the young moms saying, "Hey, you know, my baby's doing that. This is that normal?" You know, it's like, yeah, it's normal. You know, or it's not normal, or whatever. You know, it's something that it might be this or it might be that, and that's great. You know, it's good for us to always look at those or maybe a little bit ahead in life and learn from them and get some wisdom there. But more than just physically, you know, more than just health-wise, you know, sometimes people don't know, what should I be expecting from my four-year-old, my six-year-old, my seven-year-old? And I want to teach you this morning on what to expect from young children, 4 to 7 years old. Now, let me say this. when it comes to this sermon and the application of the sermon, you know, first of all, if you are a young child, you're 4 to 7 years old, listen up, all right? This sermon is for you. And we are preaching, I am preaching to you this morning, and you ought to listen up and learn and apply. But let me say this, for the parents of younger children, if you this morning have a child that's within that range of 4 to 7 years old, you know, I want you to use this sermon this morning as a tool to gauge your young children's process or progress. How are they doing in life? Are they meeting the expectations that they should be meeting? This sermon might be a good goal for you, to have some goals with your young children as to what they should be, where they should be in life and what they should be doing. So I want to talk to you about what to expect from young children. Let me say a couple things. Some of you might be thinking, well, my children aren't 4 to 7 years old. My children are 8 to 12 years old, you know, or my children are teenagers. And let me just say this, you know, today we're focusing on children because tonight is our graduation service. We're honoring the graduates. Tonight, I'm going to preach a sermon entitled, What to Expect from Older Children. And we're going to talk about the 8 to 12-year-old years. And then there's a third sermon coming entitled, What to Expect from Teenagers. And we'll talk about the 19-year-old kids. And, you know, you'll be surprised how much the Bible talks about these things. Now, let me just say this, because I've already lost some of you. And if you've already disconnected and turned off, you know, your brain, just turn it back on for a second so I can rebuke you for a second, all right? Because, you know, the problem with preaching sermons like these is that you have people, and this happens all the time, every church I've ever been a part of happens at our church. You know, if there's one person thinking it, there's probably 20 of you thinking of it. And there's what you're thinking. You're thinking, I don't have a 4 and a 7-year-old, or I don't have an 8 and a 12-year-old, or I don't have a teenager, or I'm not a parent, or I'm not whatever, you know, so this sermon doesn't apply to me. I don't have to pay attention. I don't have to listen. I'm not even going to show up, you know, tonight or whatever. You know, let me say this. When I was a child, you know, one thing I was taught is that every time the Word of God is opened, it is good for you. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. So don't tell me that, look, anytime the Bible is open, the Word of God is being expounded, it can help you and it can profit you. So even if you're, you know, 80 years old this morning and you think, you know, this doesn't apply to me, I promise you there's something you can learn from the sermon tonight, this morning, on Wednesday. Because remember the quote in the bulletin? It is easier to raise up a child than it is to repair an adult. And I'll be honest with you, some of you are having issues in your 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s because unfortunately someone failed to teach you the principles that you should have learned when you were 4 and 7 years old. So don't disconnect. Don't think, oh, this sermon isn't for me. I'm going to fall asleep. I'm going to pull out my glasses that have pictures of eyes on them, and I'm going to put those things on and just, you know, not listen today. Look, every time the Bible's open, it's good for you. Every time the Word of God is open, it's good for you. And I promise you, there are things in this sermon that can help you if you'll have an open heart and a receptive mind ready to hear the Word of God. But let's talk this morning about what to expect from young children. What to expect from young children. Some of you are grandparents. You might have a grandchild that's within these ages. Well, this sermon can help you become a better grandparent to minister to those children. So we've already talked about the fact that Samuel was not saved. He did not yet know the Lord. And we saw from Scripture, Matthew chapter 7, Galatians chapter 4, that terminology means that he wasn't saved. But what I want you to notice, if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3, I want you to notice verse number 19. We're going to go through this passage. There's so much you can learn from the Word of God. We've gone through this passage before, emphasizing Eli and, you know, troubles in parenthood. Now we're going to look at it from the perspective of Samuel. But I want you to look at verse 19. At the end of this chapter, the chapter begins with Samuel not yet knowing the Lord or not being saved. But I want you to notice that the chapter ends with Samuel being saved. Verse 19, and Samuel grew, notice what the Bible says, and the Lord was with him. So the chapter started with Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The chapter ends with the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. So point number one this morning, when it comes to what to expect from young children, especially those of you that have young children, 4 to 7 years old, I want to encourage you, write these statements down. You know, write them down. I realize you might have a baby on your lap or something like that, but if you don't, write these statements down and help this be a sermon that can help you gauge how your children are doing and maybe set some goals for you in regards to your children. Point number one, young children should get saved as soon as they can understand the gospel. You know, what's the first goal that you should have for your 4 to 7-year-old? It's to get them saved. It's to make sure that they start off, right, when they get to that age of accountability, where they're no longer innocent. They understand the knowledge of good and evil, and now they're in a place of salvation. They start that off like Samuel did, not yet knowing the Lord. But we don't want them to get much past 7 years old without knowing the Lord and getting saved. Now look, some of you are here this morning, and you are, you know, have heard sermons like these, or you heard preaching from here, and you say, man, I wish I would have learned this when I was a teenager. I wish I would have learned this when I was in my 20s, or I wish I would have learned this when I was in my 30s. But you know, the great thing is that every kid in this auditorium doesn't have to have that testimony. They can have a goodly heritage, a godly heritage. They can be saved at a young age. I thank the Lord that I was saved at a young age. That doesn't mean I was perfect. That doesn't mean I didn't make all sorts of mistakes. I made all sorts of sins and mistakes in my life. But you know, I'm thankful that at a very young age, my parents had me exposed to the Word of God, and my dad got me saved when I was a kid. And you know, your goal for your 4-year-old, your 6-year-old, your 7-year-old ought to be that they get saved. Keep your place there in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. In the New Testament, you find all the T books. They're all clustered together. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, you kept your place in Galatians. Continue to keep your place there, but also keep your place in 2 Timothy. All right? I need you to be in both of those places. Put a ribbon or a bookmark or a bulletin or something there. 2 Samuel chapter 3. And look at verse 15. Notice what the Bible says here. The Apostle Paul speaking about Timothy as a young child. Notice what the Bible says. And that from a child. Notice these words. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Notice what the Bible says. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Here the Apostle Paul is telling us that Timothy, from a young child, was exposed to the Scriptures, and they were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith. What is the Bible telling us there? The Bible is telling us that a great time for a person to get saved would be in that 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old range. And look, as a parent, you need to be, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad or rebuke you, or I mean, I am trying to rebuke you, but you know, I'm trying to help you out. I'm fearful about how many parents we have in a church like this. This morning we have 173 people here this morning, and we've got a lot of 4-year-olds, and a lot of 5-year-olds, and a lot of 6-year-olds, and a lot of 7-year-olds, and a lot of these kids are not yet saved. And I wonder how much time mom and dad are thinking about and concerned about the fact that their kids aren't saved. Mom, are you praying for your 4-year-old salvation? Dad, are you praying for your 5-year-old salvation? Are you praying for your 6-year-old salvation? Are you praying for your 7-year-old salvation? These are things you need to be concerned with. This is the age and the time of their life where if you can, you should be getting them saved. Young children should be getting saved at the ages of 4 to 7 years old. And look, not every kid is the same, and some might do it younger, some might do it older. It all depends how much they can understand and comprehend in that age of accountability. But this is the time when they should be getting saved. Now, let me just give you some practical steps when it comes to having your children get saved. You know, because you might think, well, I don't know what to do, or I don't know how to do it, or I don't know what. Here's the first step you need to be taking, is have your children hear the gospel on a regular basis by consistently taking them soul winning with you. If you have a 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old that's not saved, you need to be out soul winning every week and having your 6-year-old with you. The greatest thing that you can do for a child to get saved is to let them hear the gospel over and over and over again. And it's indirectly, because it's you or your soul winning partner giving the gospel to somebody else. But you know what? Kids are smart. They're smarter than we give them credit for, and they will learn, and they will retain, and they will be exposed to the gospel. And a great thing that you can do is to take your kids out soul winning with you and give the gospel to them and let them be exposed to the gospel and hear the gospel on a regular basis. Then let me say this. You need to begin to explain the gospel to your children at a young age whenever it comes up in conversation. Now, let me just say this. I'm not saying that you need to take your 3-year-old and sit him down and say, now listen, Billy, and I don't know that we have any kids named Billy in our church, so I'm not pointing you out if you do. I just don't remember. But, you know, three-year-old Billy, do you know for sure if you died today? Are you on your way to heaven? Okay, you know, that's maybe how you're going to talk to a kid that's not three, all right? A little older. But here's the thing. When they're already three, when they're already able to conversate with you, when they're four, when they're five, something my wife and I try to do is maybe we're not going to sit them down and preach the gospel to them every night, but whenever it comes up in conversation, whenever it comes up naturally, whenever we're having our Bible time, you know, my wife has a Bible time with the kids in the morning before they start school because we homeschool. We try to have a Bible time in the evening before we put the kids to bed, you know, on non-church nights and things like that. And whenever it comes up in Scripture, we always try to talk about salvation. You know, one thing that we've noticed is as some of the older kids, you know, when our son Joshua was baptized, Joel became very curious about, you know, his baptism. And that gave us an opportunity to talk about, well, you know, to be baptized, you have to be saved. You know, and we could talk to him about salvation. Joel got baptized and then we could talk to Elizabeth about that. And you know, just as it comes up in conversation, every time you can, any time you can, you should be talking to them about salvation, about the gift of God, about eternal security, just exposing them to it, help them to understand it, help them to get it. And then eventually, once you feel your kids are to that place where they could understand it, mom or dad needs to sit your kids down and give the gospel to them. At that point, you do give the gospel like you would at the door. You know, let me show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And you go through all the verses. You explain it. Now, please understand this. And there's a major mistake that I see parents do. And look, if you're doing this, again, I can't think of any parents in our church that do it, but I'm sure there are parents that do this. And a major mistake that parents do, and I'm telling you, this is probably one of the worst things you could do for your kids. So if you're doing this, just listen to what I'm about to tell you, and please receive it, is this idea where parents will take, I've seen this multiple times, where parents will take their little four-year-old, you know, share a verse with them, pray a prayer with them, and then declare them saved. And then the same kid is 5 or 6 years old and asking questions and not understanding, and then the parent's offended. Like, no, I got you saved. You prayed the prayer with me. And they're telling their little five-year-old you're saved. Look, don't do that with your kids. Realize that you may need to sit down with them multiple times. You may need to explain to them multiple times. Hey, they might pray multiple times. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't be one of these parents that's highly offended. Like, I can't believe when you were 3 years old, I led you through that prayer. You know, that's ridiculous. You know, maybe you sit them down. You know, sometimes kids can't comprehend a lot, so you might explain one verse real thoroughly to them. Then maybe you'll come back and explain another verse. Maybe you'll go over it several times. You might pray with them several times. Now, look, we don't want to just pray prayers, of course. We want to be thorough and explain it. But just don't do this thing. Look, your children, you say, how do I know when my children are saved? When they can tell you they're saved without you feeding them the answers. When they can explain to you, hey, son, what is salvation? Salvation is a free gift Jesus gave us by dying on the cross, paying, you know, I accepted it. When they can explain it to you comfortably, confidently, without you, you know, giving them the answers, that's when they're saved. And by the way, that's when anybody's saved. All right? So look, don't ever get offended if someone that you prayed with needs to hear it again. It's fine. Look, the goal is not to put a notch on your belt. The goal is to make sure that people actually get it, understand it, and are saved. That's one of the reasons why, you know, at Verity Baptist Church, this is our rule that we have. We don't baptize kids without having an adult that's the non-parent talk to them. Now, parents are welcome to be there, of course, you know, but we always want to have an adult talk to those kids and have those kids explain to us what they believe. Because look, sometimes we want our kids to do right and we might give them answers. We might give them, look, we want to make sure they understand. So don't be one of these parents that you're just like offended that your seven-year-old wants to pray again. Look, encourage it. And then don't bring it up to them again. Don't say like, well, you prayed 12 times. Just look, when they can regurgitate it, when they can explain it, when they can bring it back to you, that's when they're saved. Just have patience with them. The more they hear it, the better. The more questions they ask, the better. The more they understand, the better. So point number one, when it comes to your young children, what should we expect from our young children, 4 to 7 years old? Number one, they should get saved as soon as they can understand the gospel. Number two, they should work and serve in the Lord's house. They should work and serve in the Lord's house. And I want you to notice this, because in verse number 7, we're told that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, right? Samuel wasn't saved in verse 7. But I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says this, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord." The word minister means he served. He was working. I want you to notice that Samuel was serving the Lord before he was even saved. Samuel was working in the house of God before he was even saved. And look, that's okay. I often tell people, people ask me, you know, just yesterday, somebody was asking me, you know, "Oh, were you raised up in a Christian home?" I often tell people, I've been a Baptist my whole life. I've been an independent fundamental Baptist my whole life. I was born an independent fundamental Baptist. That's all I've ever been. That's all I've ever known. And here's what's funny about that. I was an independent fundamental Baptist before I was even saved. Because I wasn't born saved. I got saved later on in life, but you know, I was born an independent fundamental Baptist because I was born into the family of an independent fundamental Baptist father and mother. And look, that's okay. You know, our young children, you say they're 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old. They should be serving. You should be teaching them. Samuel wasn't even saved at this point, but the Bible says that the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. He was serving and he was working. Now, of course, understand this. Young children should be doing age-appropriate work. And here's the truth about having a 4 and a 5 and a 6 and a 7-year-old help you is that usually they're not helping you at all, right? And that's why our society today just go play video games. You know, go watch movies or go do something else and just let me do it. But, you know, take the time to allow your kids to get involved, even if it's double the work for you, because it's good for them to develop a work ethic. It's good for them to develop a character of work. It's good for them that from a young child, they learn that when other people are working around them, look, if other people are cleaning around you, go grab a broom and help. You say, "Oh, this sermon isn't good for me." Really? Because I know a lot of 30-year-olds that we can be working all day long and they'll just be sitting in the corner doing a whole lot of nothing. And you say, "Where'd that come from?" That came from a parent. Listen to me. That came from a parent that did everything for their kids. That came from a parent that made their bed, picked up their toys. Look, if they're old enough to get the toys out, they're old enough to put them away. A 7-year-old should be able to make their bed. You say, "Yeah, but it's easier for me to do it." But it's not good for them. It's not good as you raise them. Teach your children to work. Teach your children. One of the things I love is coming in here on a Saturday after soul winning or some, you know, different times during the week when people are cleaning. I love watching the people who volunteer. And by the way, I love the people who volunteer at our church to clean. That's probably one of the most, you know, not noticed jobs, but probably one of the most needed jobs needed in the church. But you know what I love? I love watching young children with their parents cleaning in the house of God. You say, what does that remind you? It reminds me of Samuel ministering unto the Lord. It's good for young children to be exposed to work. It's good for them to be exposed. And of course, age appropriate. But young children, talking about 4 to 7-year-olds, should, number one, get saved as soon as they can understand the gospel. Number two, they should work and serve in the Lord's house. Number three, now if you kept your place in Galatians, go with me from Galatians to the next book over is the book of Ephesians. Go to Ephesians real quickly, and we're going to look at a couple of verses, and we're going to come back to our story. But number three, young children should be able to obey right away and with a right attitude. They should be able to obey right away and with a right attitude. Are you there in Ephesians? Go to chapter 6, look at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Are you listening, kids? You're 4 to 7 years old? Listen, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Go to Colossians chapter number 3. You're there in Ephesians. You're going to go past the book of Philippians into the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3 and look at verse number 20. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. The Bible says this, "Children, obey your parents in all things." Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Whenever I look at these verses, I always want to point this out. It's interesting that in Ephesians 6:1, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And in Colossians 3:20, he says, "Children, obey your parents in all things. You say, well, which one is it? Is it in the Lord or is it in all things? It's both. And by the way, we should always, as we allow ourselves to come under the submission of authority, whether it's children to their parents, whether it's a wife to her husband, whether it's, you know, to your pastor as a church member, whether it's to government as a citizen, we should always realize that our submission is in the Lord in all things, or in all things in the Lord. What that means is that whenever any authority asks you to do something that goes against what God would like you to do, we obey God rather than men. Amen. That includes parents, that includes husbands, that includes employers. You know, you ought to obey your employer in all things in the Lord. But if your employer asks you to lie, you don't do it. Why? Because we obey God rather than men. That's a principle of submission. This idea that, oh, I just submit to everything they say. They asked me, you know, my boss gave me a bag of white powder and asked me to deliver it to the other side of town and not to ask any questions. Well, look, you obey in all things in the Lord. You understand that? Well, my husband said that I'm not allowed to go to church. You obey in all things in the Lord. That's the principle of submission. But look, as long as it's in the Lord, as long as it's not a sin, you do everything in all things. Everything you're asked, you obey. And children need to learn to obey. Listen to me, right away and with the right attitude. Some of you wrote this down. Children need to obey. That's not what I said. Children need to obey. Write this down. Right away. Right away. And with a right attitude. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, who believes that the King James Bible is God's inspired, preserved Word of God? Amen. I mean, I would have thought I got a better, you know, let me give some of you guys another opportunity. Who believes the King James Bible is God's inspired, preserved Word of God? Anybody believe that here? Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, every word is pure. Every word in the Bible is there for a reason. When you study the Word of God, you need to understand that there are no fillers in the Word of God. Nothing is in there just because God wanted to fill up some time, you know. The essay was due. It had to be 20 pages, so he just started typing, all right? That's not how the Word of God is. If it's in there, it's in there for a reason. And I want you to notice our story. 1 Samuel chapter 3, look at verse 2. The Bible says, and it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And that's something that should have never happened. The lamp should not have gone out. That's a sermon for another day. Look at verse 4. And the Lord called Samuel. So God calls Samuel. Remember, Samuel's not even saved at this point. And he answered. Notice how Samuel answered. Here am I. Here am I. Look at verse 5. Now, here's what you understand. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He did not know that it was the Lord calling him. Samuel heard someone say, Samuel. And Samuel assumed that it was Eli calling him, you know, from another room. Once you notice verse 4, and the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Look at verse 5. Don't miss this. Underline these words. And he ran. You see that? And he ran unto Eli. What is God trying to show us there? You know what God is trying to show us? That Samuel was not just a boy who obeyed. He was a boy who obeyed right away. He ran. I mean, he heard him call and he ran to Samuel, to Eli, and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Listen to me, parents. With your 4-year-olds, your 5-year-olds, your 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, it's not enough that you get them to obey. They must learn to obey right away. You say, oh, should I spank my children if they don't obey? Yes, but you know what? You should also spank them if they don't obey right away. You should spank them if they don't run to do what you've asked them. And again, I'm not saying they need to run, you know, physically, but when you ask them to do something, they need to be willing to do it right away. You say, well, what's the big deal? Here's what you need to understand. For your young children, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, even the older children we'll talk about tonight, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, you as a parent are the representative of God in their life. The goal of us as parents, and we'll talk about this more tonight, but our goal is to train our children in a way where we can transfer their leadership. Not one day they're going to be adults and out and doing whatever they want. Look, no adult should be out doing whatever they want. Every adult should be bringing themselves under the submission of God, Almighty God. You say, what is the goal with my 18, my 17, 18, 19 year old? My goal as a father, and I'm getting into my teenage sermon, but here's what you need to understand. My goal is that they will one day go from submitting to me to submitting to God. Say, how should they obey God? Well, study the Bible. Notice the apostles, the disciples are constantly obeying God straight away, right away, immediately. You know you should obey God immediately? Where do you learn that? Well, you learn it by first obeying your parents immediately. He ran. We must train our children to obey. Not just obey, but obey right away. But let me say this. They should obey right away with the right attitude. Notice verse 6. And the Lord called yet again. This is the second time. Samuel. Can you imagine that? Having God call your name. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, I want you to notice what he said. Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, now listen, Eli, why do you keep calling me? I'm trying to go to bed. Is that what he said? You know what he said? Same thing he said the first time. Here am I. You know that Samuel, as a young child, just maintained a good attitude while obeying? I mean, you and I would get frustrated. Us adults. Why do you keep asking me? Remember Peter, when Jesus asked him three times, lovest thou me more than these? What was his response? Lord, thou knowest all things, right? But not Samuel. See, Samuel was trained to obey right away with a right attitude. Obey right away with the right attitude. Listen to me, mom and dad. If your kids, you ask them to do something, and they do it right away, but they roll their eyes in the process, you need to spank them. Oh, well, they did it, but not with the right attitude. They need to learn to obey right away and maintain a right attitude. You've heard me say this before. We say this to our younger children. We don't say this to our older children anymore. But our younger children, our, you know, three-year-old and you know, even the six-year-old will say things like, hey, you obey right away with a smile. You do it with the right attitude. You say, why? Because, you know, God wants you to obey him right away with the right attitude. Some of you tithe, but you do it with a bad attitude. You go soul winning, but you do it with a bad attitude. You go to a ladies' retreat, but you have a bad attitude the whole time. You know, why serve God with a bad attitude? God wants you to do it right away with the right attitude. God wants you to obey right away with a smile. He wants you to be joyful. Look, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We should be joyful Christians. We should be people that want to serve God. Look, if you don't want to come to church on Sunday night, don't show up here with a bad attitude. If you're going to have a bad attitude, just don't show up at all. Don't tithe at all. Don't go soul winning at all. Don't. Yeah, I remember we don't have this anymore, but we had an usher that had a real bad attitude about ushering. My thing to him was like, turn your coat in. We don't need your bad attitude. If you want to serve God, you're going to serve God with a right attitude. But what was the problem? You had a 30-year-old who had mom and dad do everything for him and never got corrected. They weren't taught to obey right away with a right attitude. And listen to me, mom and dad. Please listen to me. 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 years old, that is the time you want to fight that battle. You want to win that battle. 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 is not the time to be fighting that battle. 24 and 25 and 26 and 27 is not the time to be fighting about. You do whatever you want. Because here's the problem when you preach sermons like this. You look at people who need to get this and they just have a bad attitude about it. Like, I don't know why he's saying this. He's picking on me or whatever. You do whatever you want. But when you're struggling with that 17-year-old that you can't get them to obey, listen to me, you lost that battle when they were 7. You lost that battle when they were 6. You get your kids. No, it's not, you say, well, my 70-year-old's rebellious. We'll deal with that on Wednesday night. You come back. It's not all lost. We can help you out. But let me tell those of you that got the 4 and the 5 and the 6 and the 7-year-old, you just win that battle right now. You fight that battle right now. You make sure your kids learn to obey right away with a right attitude. Number 4. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3 if you're not there. 1 Samuel chapter 3. What should you expect from your young children, 4 to 7 years old? Well, they should get saved as soon as they can understand the gospel. They should work and serve in the Lord's house. They should obey right away with the right attitude. Number 4, they should be able to receive and follow instructions. They should be able to receive and follow instructions. Notice verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." Notice what the Bible says. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. So by the third time, Eli realizes it's God who's calling Samuel. Verse 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel. Notice, Eli is about to give Samuel some instructions. He says, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." I want you to notice that a 4 to 7-year-old should be able to receive and follow instructions. Eli said, "Here's what you do. Go lay down. If you hear it again, here's what I want you to say. I want you to say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And the Bible tells Samuel went and laid down. God called again, and he said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Here you have a 4, 5, 6, maybe 7-year-old who was able to receive and follow instructions. This is something that's often emphasized in Scripture. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter 1. If you open up your Bible, it's right in the center. You'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you got the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Now, keep your place in Proverbs. You can lose your place in Galatians. Keep your place in 2 Timothy and in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Notice what the Bible says. Now, the Bible talks a lot about this. I'm just going to emphasize when it's saying it from a parent to a child. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Proverbs 1:8 says this, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 4, just flip a few pages over. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. "Hear ye children," notice, "the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Go to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1, the Bible says this, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." A wise son heareth his father's instruction. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." And listen to me. You should be able to tell your 6 and 7 and 8-year-old or whatever, you want to train your children to receive and follow instructions. You say, all he told them was to go lay down and to say certain words. Say, is it really that big of a deal if I tell my sons, you go find all the trash cans in the house, look around the trash can in case there's anything that should be in the trash can that's not, pick it up, put it in the bag, grab the bag, tie it up, put a new bag inside, and take all of those bags out. You say, why does it matter if they learn to hear, receive instruction, and then follow it to the T? Why does that matter? Well, it matters for a couple reasons. Number one, there are some 30 and 40 and 50-year-olds that cannot follow instructions. You work with them, or maybe they work with you. And look, it's very, let me just explain something to you. You want to succeed at your job? Learn to do what your boss says, how your boss says. You know what employees are always trying to do? Well, I did what he said, I just did it my own way. No, you want to make your boss happy? Learn to do what he said, how he said it. Some 30-year-olds didn't learn that when they were 6. And they're terrible employees. Teach your kids to pay attention to detail. Teach your kids to open their ears and listen for exactly what you're saying and to follow it to the T. A 4 and a 5 and a 6 and a 7-year-old should be learning to receive and follow instructions. Why? Because one day God, through His Word, is going to give them very specific instructions. And they need to be able to learn to listen and obey it. God is going to tell them exactly what to do and how to do it. The Word of God is going to tell them what to do in life and how to do it and how to succeed. And we want to train even our young kids to learn to receive instruction and to follow instruction. Number 5, go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3. What should we be expecting from our young children? Here's point number 5. Young children should be able to receive spiritual teaching and instruction. So not just instructions for life, like how to make your bed, not just instructions for life, like how to take the trash out, but also they should be able to receive spiritual teaching and instructions. I want you to notice what the Bible tells us here in the story of Samuel. Keep in mind, we've got a 5, 6, 7-year-old who's getting saved in this chapter, not even saved at the beginning of the chapter. In verse 11, the Bible says this, "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever.'" Now look, verses 11 through 14, those are some heavy verses. God is talking about the fact that he spoke judgment to the house of Eli. He's going to destroy Eli because his sons made themselves vile, because he restrained them not, and that he's going to purge Eli out. And this is the judgment that's coming from God. This was the judgment that was prophesied. God is telling all this, and keep in mind, he's telling it to a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old. Say, what does that mean? That means that a young child should be able to receive. A young child should be able to receive teaching and instruction from the Word of God. Did you keep your place in 2 Timothy 3? Go back to it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15. Notice what Paul said. We saw this verse already, but let's look at it again. "And that from a child," notice what he says, "thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." You know, a young child should be able to know and learn and understand the Holy Scriptures. A young child should be able to receive spiritual teaching and instruction. Now, please listen to me. We're not talking about a baby and a toddler. I'm not preaching to you about what to expect from a 3-month-old, a 6-month-old, a 1-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old. We're talking about a young child, someone who is to the age where they could be saved. We're talking about a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old. These children should be able to receive spiritual teaching and instruction. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. They should be able to sit quietly during the church service. They should be able to sit quietly during the church service. Again, we're not talking about a 2-year-old. We're not talking about a 1-year-old. But look, a 4-year-old who's school age should be able to sit quietly during a church service. Now, when people show up to church and this is new to them, family integrated is new, we understand it's going to take some time of training and getting them to that place. But look, your goal should be that your 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old should be able to sit quietly in church. And let me just explain something to you. Your 4-year-old should not be oblivious to what's going on around them. We have a 1-year-old, 2-year-old baby, you know, baby is going to be 2 years old soon. That baby is oblivious to what's going on around them. Sometimes the baby, you know, my wife and I'll go preach somewhere, and I get up to preach, and we'll have Ruthie with us, and Ruthie will start saying, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." Everybody's quiet. She's like, "Daddy." I'm up at the pulpit. You know, because she doesn't understand, we're at a church service, baby. All right? So my wife takes the baby out. All right? Because a baby, a 2-year-old, a 1-year-old, a 3-year-old, you know, a 3-year-old's getting older, old enough to be able to understand these things. For sure, you know, a 1-year-old, a 6-month-old, they don't understand what's going on. You need to start training your kids to not be oblivious. Sometimes you see 4 and 5-year-olds, they're running around during the church service, just not like having no concept that there's a church service going on. Your kids should be, you know, they should start getting to the place where they start realizing, like, they start looking around and saying, like, "Oh, everybody else is sitting quietly? Maybe I should sit quietly." And you need to help your children become aware of that. You need to not just allow your 7-year-old to run around like he's crazy. You know, a 6-year-old to run around like just having no, just being oblivious to their surroundings. Look, your 4-year-old, your 5-year-old, your 6-year-old, your 7-year-old, they should be able, and you should be working towards them being able to sit quietly in the church service. You say, "How do I do that?" There's 2 main ways to do that. One is you have a family Bible time. And this isn't Father's Day yet, and we're going to get to Father. We're just having a whole series on families, you know, between Mother's Day and Father's Day. But look, you need to have a time at home, Dad, where your kids are expected to sit and someone reads the Bible to them and trains them, and mom reads the Bible or dad reads the Bible or both read the Bible, and they sit there, and when they get up and when they start talking, you deal with it at home primarily, so you don't have to deal with it primarily here. Develop a family Bible time. There's lots of reasons why you should do it, but one reason is you can train your young children to sit quietly. Another thing that you need to be doing is using the mother baby rooms and the daddy rooms to train your children. Again, we're not talking about a six-month-old. We're not talking about a one-year-old. But when you've got a four-year-old and a five-year-old, look, they need to not just be in that mother baby room playing and jumping around and having fun. You need to be using that time to train them to bring them here. You know what that means, Mom? That means you're not in the mother baby room on your phone on Facebook. That means that you ladies are not in the mother baby room just yapping it up about everything that's going on and gossiping and whatever. It means that you are training your kids to sit quietly and listen to the sermon in the mother baby room, in the daddy baby room, so you can bring them out here and learn that. And look, they're not going to learn that, Mom, when you're in the mother baby room talking the whole time. Set the example. Why are you even in church? Didn't you come to church to hear the word of God? We got fellowship before the service, after the service. I don't know of a church that fellowships more than this church. I mean, we have to start turning the lights off at 12:30 at night on Sunday night just to get people to leave. And then you're going to sit there and fellowship the whole time the preaching's being done. You're a bad example to your kids. And your four-year-old and your five-year-old and your six-year-old and your seven-year-old can't sit in church and listen to preaching because they've never seen you do it. Use the mother baby rooms to train your kids. Train them at home. Give priority to the Word of God. They should be able to receive spiritual teaching and instruction. They should not be oblivious to their surroundings. A three-year-old, maybe. A two-year-old, yes. A one-year-old, yes. A five-year-old doesn't need to be running around during church and not having no concept that there's a worship service going on, that there's things going on around them. They should be able to sing with the congregation. Listen to me very carefully. We are not raising children. Some of you need to write that down. We are not raising children. We are raising adults. Do you understand the difference? I don't know how old my kids are. I've got too many kids to know. One's 10, one's 8, one's 6, one's 3, one's 1, I think. Did I get those right? One's in the womb. Amen. Now, don't ask me their names. Don't ask me their birthdays. Don't ask me their social security numbers. One time I had to call someplace, you know, because we have home births, so we have to call and get, I forget what I was calling, but somebody was asking me, maybe we were doing passports, I don't remember what we were doing. Some lady asked me, you know, what are your children's social security number? And I'm like, I don't know, and she was just acting like I was the worst dad on earth. I'm like, I got five kids. I barely know my social security number. You know, I have to ask my wife how old I am, you know, just because I've got so much stuff and my head's not that smart, I guess, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know why I'm saying that. The point is, let's get back to the sermon. What was I even saying? Good night. Made me lose my track of time, my track. Oh, yeah, here's what I'm saying. We're not raising children. We're raising adults. You should be training your children to act like adults because that's what we're trying to do. So here's the thing. If it's not appropriate for an adult to do it, it's not appropriate for a child to do it. Again, I'm not talking about a two-year-old. But look, if it's not appropriate for a 30-year-old to be sitting and preaching, if it's not appropriate for a 30-year-old man to be brought here by his wife, and then he has to sit there and color the whole time because he's so unspiritual, he doesn't know what else to do. Oh, how about this? If it's not appropriate for an adult to be on their phone the whole time the preaching of God's word is being done, is that more applicable? If that's not appropriate, then guess what? It's not appropriate for a kid to be coloring the whole time church is going on either. I'm not talking about a one-year-old. I'm not talking about a two-year-old. If a two-year-old's coloring or doodling or whatever, that's fine. But your five-year-old should be able to sit in church and listen. Your five-year-old should be able to sing. Your six-year-old should be able to sing in church. Look, if it's not appropriate for an adult to just be screaming at the top of their lungs during the singing service, it's not appropriate for your five or four or six or seven-year-old either. We're not raising children. We are raising adults. We need to start training our children that the house of God is serious business. When the word of God is being preached, they sit there, sit up, quietly, listen, pay attention. When we're singing, we sing. If you don't know how to sing, then teach your kids to sing. But we're not screaming. We're not yelling. We're not just being obnoxious. We need to teach our kids to act like adults. We're not raising kids. We're raising adults. We're raising kids that are going to one day be good adults. They should be able to follow along with the preaching. They should be able to sing in the congregational service. They should be able to sit quietly during church. I'm not talking about a two-year-old. I'm going to say that over and over. Somebody's going to walk up to me and say, "Oh my, you're picking on my one-year-old." Look, a one-year-old is a one-year-old, a two-year-old. We're talking about young children, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. They should be able to receive spiritual teaching and instructions. Number 6, go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 15. Number 6, I got 7 of these, we'll finish the fast. Number 6, young children should be able to hold and carry out regular responsibilities. Why don't you notice verse 15? And Samuel lay until the morning. So God just gave Samuel this really deep sermon. And Samuel sat there in his bed, laid there in his bed. He laid until the morning. But I want you to notice what he did. And opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Now, why does the Bible tell us that Samuel got up and opened the doors of the house of the Lord? Well, here's the thing. It was probably his responsibility to do that. It was his job in the morning to open the house of the Lord's. Here we're talking about a 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old who's holding a regular responsibility. And your kids at that age need to be having parents that are giving them regular responsibilities. Let me say it again. Don't be the parent who's doing everything for your kids. Making their bed, taking out the trash, putting all their toys away. You know, you need to give them regular responsibilities. You know, you need to train them. Hey, son, you're supposed to feed the dog. Supposed to go put water, you know, give water to the dog. Supposed to take the trash out. You know, it's Monday. Take the trash out. They should have responsibilities that they do on a regular basis, and you need to be training your young children. Now, of course, age appropriate, but they should be holding and carrying out regular responsibilities. And look, some of you are like, "I can't get my teenager to take the trash out." You can't get your 17-year-old to take the trash out because you never taught your 7-year-old how to do it. And your 27-year-old son is going to get fired because he can't hold down regular responsibilities. Make sure you are training your kids and teaching your kids and helping them learn to carry out regular responsibility. I wonder if God could trust Samuel to have a circuit. The Bible tells us he had a circuit in Israel where he went around preaching. I wonder if God could hold him, give him that responsibility because of the fact that as a 4 and 5 and 6 and 7-year-old, he was responsible enough to open the doors of the house of the Lord. Notice he got up. Eli didn't have to remind him. He got up and just did what he was supposed to do. He lay until the morning and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Number 7, what should we be expecting from our young children? Well, number 1, we said they need to get saved as soon as they can understand the gospel. Number 2, they need to work and serve in the Lord's work. Number 3, they need to obey right away and with a right attitude. Now remember, some of you wrote to obey. And you left out the right away and with a right attitude. That's because you were never taught, number 4, to receive and follow instructions. Number 5, to receive spiritual teaching and spiritual instructions. And number 6, to hold and carry out regular responsibilities. Number 7, what should we expect from our young children? Number 7, young children should be showing signs of personal character and integrity. They should be showing signs of personal character and integrity. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 15, notice what the Bible says. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Samuel just got some really bad news about Eli in his house, and he was afraid to tell Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." So look, the Bible already told us he was afraid to tell him. Now Eli's telling him, "You tell me what he said. Don't hide anything from me." And at this point, Samuel has to make a decision. Am I going to tell the truth, although it might hurt him, or am I going to lie to him so that it can just be more convenient for me? And notice what this 5, 6, 7-year-old did, verse 18. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." I want you to notice that Samuel at a young age was already showing signs of personal character and integrity. Look, you parents, you need to be watching your kids. Some of you, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but you're already going down the road. We're going to see. You know, I'm going to have to visit your older children in prison one day. You know, I'm going to have to do the counseling for a baby born out of wedlock. Because your children, even now, are showing signs of being deceptive and liars. Even now, they put on a face for you. And everybody else sees it. They don't do it for anybody else. But they're hiding and being deceiving and being liars to you. And you're not concerned enough to be watching them. You're not concerned enough to be paying attention to them. You're not concerned enough. And even now, in their 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 year old state, they're learning to be liars and be good at it. You need to be teaching your kids to have character and integrity. Say, when they're 7, it's not that big of a deal. But it's a big deal when they're 37 and when they're 27 and when they're 17. And you might save their future marriage if you don't stop being so self-absorbed and your life's all about you and your life's all about what makes you happy and actually start paying attention to the kids that God has given you. Young children should be able to show signs of personal character and integrity. It's harder to repair an adult than it is to raise a child. And you will be helping their future pastor if you just teach them to do right, to tell the truth, to not lie, to have character, to have integrity, to tell the truth, even if it might hurt you. You might help them. You say, it's not that big of a deal. They're 4 years old. You know, you might help them when they're 40, though. Young children should be showing signs of personal character and integrity. Look at verse 19. We're done. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. Go to Proverbs chapter 20. I wanted to show you Proverbs 20. I'm sorry I lied to you. Proverbs chapter 20. I asked you to keep your place. I just want you to see this verse, and then we'll go to verse 19, and we'll be done. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. Notice what the Bible says. Even a child. Don't miss that. Please don't miss that. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. You know, there are some kids in this church that already have a bad reputation for being disobedient, for being liars, for being unruly. Some of you parents already have a bad reputation for being a not that great parent. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Every kid is bad. All kids are bad. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. I'm going to say that right now, and the service is going to be over, and my kid's going to go break somebody's windshield, all right? And it's going to make me look stupid, right? Look, we all, but look, even a child is known by his doings. Start helping your kids create and maintain a good reputation. Help them at this young age to mold them into the adult that you want them to be. I want you to notice that God connects this chapter of Samuel as a young child to his adulthood. Go to 1 Samuel 3, look at verse 19. And Samuel grew, right, because he was a young child. And the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to one day be a prophet of the Lord. How did they know that? Because even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. And the Lord appeared again unto in Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Please understand this. The battles you will fight when your kids are 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 years old, you will fight those battles. You will have an older child that has not learned how to obey and be respectful. You will fight those battles when you fail to train them at 4, 5, 6, and 7. Now, we'll talk about the 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old tonight. And on Wednesday, we'll talk about the 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old. But let me just explain something to you. The battles you fight when they're 13 to 19 years is because of failures when they were 8 to 12. And the battles you'll fight when they were 8 to 12 is because of failures when they were 4 to 7. So take heed. Take heed. If you've got children in this stage, you need to listen. Write these things down. Listen to this sermon again. Gauge your children. See how they're doing. Use this as goals in your life. Because this foundational age of their life, when they're in your home, when they're under your care, will lay the foundation for their adulthood. Remember, We are not raising children. We are raising adults. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you that the Bible teaches us, tells us, gives us everything we need for life. Marriage, child rearing, finances, health, whatever concept, whatever we need to learn, the Bible tells us everything we need. And Father, I want to just pray right